You're listening to AshevilleFM.org at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. You're listening to The Final Straw, and I'm Bursa Goodness. The show is also available on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWA LP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRS LP in Columbus, Ohio. Archives of the show can be found online at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can contact us at thefinalstrawradio at riseup.net. This week, we're featuring two segments from Anarchistisches Radio Berlin. Our friends at ARB recently conducted an interview with three members of the Athens-based Group of Libertarian Communists, or GLC, about the election of the leftist Syriza party in Greece, giving an anti-authoritarian and anti-capitalist perspective on what they've seen from Syriza and what they expect to see in the future. After that, ARB talked to members of the Slovenian anarchist radio collective Cherna Luknia, as well as Radio Libertaire from Paris and Verge Bond of the Netherlands about upcoming anarchist book fairs, the Pinksterlandagen camp, the imminent International Anarchist Radio Conference in Slovenia, and more. More about these projects can be found at aradio.blogsport.de. After those interviews, we'll hear some recent music, but first up, Sean Swain. What you say, what you say, what you say,
what? We'll come like a boss! March 15th, the International Day Against Police Brutality. Well, the International Day Against Police Violence. In the U.S., you'll see people marching and protesting, maybe even getting really radical at being arrested for nonviolent resistance, laying in front of cop cars or chaining themselves to the doors of local cop shops. In places that are already ground zero for a lot of anti-cop hostility, like Ferguson perhaps, you may see sporadic attacks on police that are more than symbolic. Maybe not. It's interesting, I think, that there is such a thing as an International Day Against Police Violence. I'm not aware of an International Day Against Electrician Violence, for instance. And I've also never heard of an International Day Against Plumber Violence. To my knowledge, there's no International Day Against Teacher Violence. I'm no statistics expert, but I would suggest to you that there are more nurses in the world than police, and probably more secretaries. But we don't need a day to protest the random killings carried out by nurses or secretaries. We don't need a day to voice our rage about nurses or secretaries slamming people's faces on the hood of cars. Or, as in one case in New York, taking turns sodomizing an immigrant with a billy club. I'm unaware of any profession that has an international day of protest to draw attention to that profession's violence, other than police. And that's really curious, when you consider that the police motto is to protect and to serve. Electricians, plumbers, teachers, nurses, secretaries, none of them promise to protect or to serve. And yet, folks in those professions do less wanton slaughter than the people who do promise to protect and to serve. When we consider that, do you think that slogan neatly painted over the fender of the squad car is to distract your attention away from the barrel of the gun pointed in your face? I'm going out on a limb here with a wild lunatic theory, but do you think there's a problem with cops and violence because cops are typically armed and electricians, plumbers, teachers, nurses, and secretaries typically are not? I think that's definitely part of it, but not all. I suspect you could give physicists across the globe automatic weapons, and the instance of physicists shooting deaths wouldn't increase considerably. And that's because physicists aren't under the grips of a powerful myth that they're serving the transcendent power of the almighty state, and that they are the defenders of order, and that their mission is all important. What I mean is, police are hopped up on a powerful delusion of their own importance, and the importance of law, and the importance of projecting state power through enforcement of law. Cops don't kill people because they have guns. They kill people because they have the delusion of authority. You can arm electricians and plumbers, teachers, nurses, and secretaries, and they still wouldn't kill even a fraction of the people that cops do. But when we look at the history, it's no wonder. There were no police in the U.S. until the Fugitive Slave Laws. Modern law enforcement emerged from the volunteer slave patrols made up of Ku Klux Klanners, who sought to return escaped slaves to their masters. So from the beginning, cops were racist and brutal, and dedicated to reducing people to instruments, property, to be controlled and managed by force. Over time, this volunteer terror squad became officially incorporated into public service. They have always, from the start, been opposed to individual freedom, starting with apprehending the escaped slave, and they've always been dedicated to the institutions of property and the state, transcending all else. The modern incarnation of those fugitive slave catchers differ from their progenitors only in wearing more intimidating uniforms instead of pillowcases on their heads and being more heavily armed. Their delusion of authority then and now fuels their terror campaign and their enmity against freedom. Guns don't kill people, cops do. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from the Southern Ohio Correctional Facility at Lucasville. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at his new address at Sean Swain 243-205, P.O. Box 45699, 1724 State Route number 728, Lucasville, Ohio 45699. To read some of Sean's writings and learn more about his case, check out seanswain.org.
Sagen Sie jetzt mal bitte,
Anarchie.
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 Ob geschichtlich oder brandaktuell?
Mit Berichten und Interviews, mit Beiträgen und Collagen
beleuchtet das anarchistische Radio Berlin das Phänomen des Anarchismus.
Viva Anarchie!
On the occasion of an international anarchist meeting in Paris, we had the opportunity to do some interviews in the studio of Radio Libertaire. This is one of these interviews. In it, we talk with some comrades from Greece on the topic of Syriza and Golden Dawn. Hello and welcome. We are here again at the studio of Radio Libertaire in Paris. And now sitting here with some comrades from Greece. You're talking here as private persons, but still it would be interesting to know your background.
We all come from Athens. We participate in a group of libertarian communists. It's a group based in a central place of Athens, not in the city center, but around. And we are part of a social center together with other groups doing several different activities. We are a political group, so...
We also are in a place that we have a digital archive, bibliothèque.
Okay, thanks. And I'm from the Anarchist Radio Berlin, and so, of course, what we would be interested in is to know about the recent situation in Greece. Only some weeks ago, Syriza won the elections. So I would like to start with maybe a different question. Are anarchists putting their hopes in Syriza, or...?
No, under no circumstances. Of course, though, a lot of people voted for Syriza. Just we had a right-wing government for many, many years now. The anti-election campaign was one of the lightest that we ever had, but it was not because we were hoping that something... that Syriza will actually can manage a lot of things in the European Union and how things are. But certainly there wasn't anything better compared to that. But it was not that we're hoping that something will change.
It was like choosing a strategy for the extremely right to be less strong.
And does Syriza have a strong situation now? It's been under a lot of fire from the other countries in Europe, especially Germany.
I think that it is strange that Syriza, being a center-left party, has offered the most national pride to people than you would expect from a right-wing party or something. I mean, they invest to that as well. They have been, from the moment they started the negotiations, they have been organizing pro-government protests in the city center in Athens and in other cities. And they have these protests, I think they have spread in Europe as well. I mean, they have based their whole... negotiation, and they had said it before that
They need the people to support them, so now they try to do it like that. But okay, it goes without saying that anarchists in Greece do not participate in that, and they are skeptical or, how do you say, hostile to these kinds of things. I mean,
as I can hear also from what you're saying, at least for you, it's no surprise at all that Syriza is making a coalition with a right-wing party.
I think that if you're talking about real politics and not name politics, like, okay, it's a radical party, Syriza, which is not, or it was their only option. So the right-wing party that they are in coalition with has nothing to lose from this coalition. And in reality, Syriza has nothing to lose from this coalition because they both use each other. Syriza does not have any influence on the armed forces, so they needed a right-wing hand to be able to try and control this. On the other hand, they need somebody to blame if something doesn't work. And the ultra-right, the right-wing party that they are in coalition with, they just want to take voters from the other right-wing party that just fell. So they have given carte blanche to Syriza, even for things that before they would be yelling about, such as the legalization of second-generation immigrants in Greece, who now have no rights at all whatsoever. So it's a part of the central political game. And we will see how it goes. I mean, by itself, I think you can understand, people can understand how the game is played. I mean, it's not an ideological thing, I think.
And in the field of civil rights, we don't have a doubt that Syriza would do some things that would benefit. Categorize of people that had problems before, like the second generation of immigrants or in the matter of gay marriage, etc.
What is the effect that Syriza being in the government has on anarchist movement or any anti-authoritarian or non-government movement at the moment?
At the moment, I think that the movements, like any other person in Greece, wait to see what will happen. On the other hand, the agenda now is strictly targeted on negotiations about the debt and about the Troika and all these things. So I think that anybody who would try to spread a different word or a word in a different context would just be out of place. I mean, people now, people on the street do not care about anything else this particular time than the negotiations that have been going on now for 2 weeks or something. I think that if this goes on for more than a certain amount of time, then again people will start talking about other things as well. But now it's this seems to be the important thing for people. On the other hand, there are things are happening, like 2 days ago there was an immigrant who killed himself in a concentration camp that the previous government has set up. They call it places of hospitality for immigrants. And it is places that the conditions there are the worst you can imagine. These people that are there, they have no rights whatsoever. They are kept there more than, let's say, the constitution. The Greek constitution allows to be for somebody to be kept without any charges. So there was an uprising in that concentration camp. And Syriza said that we are a very new government. These places are for sure going to be abolished very quickly. But because of the bureaucracy, they said, it's not yet our responsibility. So, you see, life is going on, and they will have to deal with things, and we will see how they react. For now, I think that you can extrapolate from experience or from what you think about them, but still it remains to be seen.
I think we have seen in the past, taking for example Argentina or Ecuador, very clearly what central left government will do. But on the one hand, it retains neoliberal policies, but on the other hand, manages to strip all the power of non-parliamentarian and or even anarchist movements And that's why I'm asking if you're already noticing that it's becoming harder because of all the approval that a more leftist population maybe will have towards this government, or if you can see anything happening.
Already the agenda that the anarchists have in Greece is very short, right? So in matters that have to do with civil rights, they have to do with solidarity to prisoners and oppression, etc., they're going to continue whatever we used to do. It's only the groups that were actually involved in the anarchist groups that were actually involved in politics and they were doing politics. There are just few. So yes, maybe these groups, they're going to wait and see and then act. But in general, anarchists were not really involved in politics like that.
The anarchists are involved in local assemblies also, not only central politics. And they're trying to do self-organized things at the neighborhoods, and this will continue. And they trying to do many things that are social now more than spread the idea of anarchism. They just need to spread the idea of you can do things for yourself, by your own, without waiting someone else to do it for you. And this is important.
Dimitra says it's important because this has been, in the last few years, the main activity place of the anarchist groups. So local assemblies and local action about things that affect small neighborhoods or even bigger had been shifted than before that it was a central scene. This series again tried to take it for themselves, so they always said that they were pro-local assemblies and pro-self-organization in that respect. But in truth, they weren't there. Or if they were there, it was just to participate and say that they were there. And I think this will still going to go on. Things are in neighborhoods will still go on. Although the last 2 years, as a movement, it was declining because people had given hope in demonstration after the last big demonstration in February 2011, where it was the peak, and people saw that even if there is a big demonstration with riots, with everything, the parliament will vote anyway for all these measures. They were just waiting for Syriza to come to power. But on the neighborhood level and the everyday life level, anarchists were doing a very hard work.
But we have to understand that though, both Syriza and the right party that they are in coalition with, both have their origins in those demonstrations. In those demonstrations and the people that were gathering in squares, and since then they were again the memorandum, and they stay to their position. So we have to understand that concept and how both of them stayed focused on what they were saying back then, and how they came to power, and why. For example, Syriza did not do a coalition with another party that might be closer to it, to Syriza, and did a coalition with ANEL, which is the right-wing party.
Talking about right-wing parties, we also, of course, the terrible rise of Chrissy Afke or Golden Dawn in the last years, at least after the point where then the state finally had to react and started to prosecute some of them. Still, I was quite surprised, I must admit, at seeing it having around 10% of the votes. How can you explain this situation?
Okay, Chrissy Afke is something very particular, I think, in Europe. I mean, it doesn't exist such a party in other European countries. Okay, there are the radical right-wing, but this is Nazi party, essentially. But the thing is, it has been nourished by the central political scene all these years. And the truth is that people that could belong to such a party were parts of the normal parties during all this time in Greece. You have to know that Greece, after the Second World War, there was a civil war, and then there was a dictatorship during the 70s, which lasted 7 years. And during all this time, the people responsible for either the dictatorship and all the tortures and killings, or people that during the Civil War they were responsible for collaborating with the Nazis and they were part of the They were never really persecuted or punished. So these people were quite naturally incorporated in the right-wing party in Greece. And as long as the right-wing party had the means, or the normal parties had the means to have them happy, I mean, to put them in public places or to... They didn't have a reason to go out of the herd. On the other hand, when the crisis started, they were too, like all the Greeks, they were among the Greeks who lost some privileges, and being angry at the people that fed them, they started going out of the herd and getting into their natural place. This was in combination with the central political scene starting to find the internal enemy immigrants that they were blaming for every bad thing that was happening. Let's say we have heard from official lips that immigrants are to blame for the bad things happening in the health system. They are taking other places in the hospitals without paying, so there are no... This was said by a socialist minister, that they fill up the childcare places so there's no... So this rhetoric has given the Golden Dawn a place to start spreading their ideas. Let's say they were... firstly, an anti-immigrant party, and secondly, everything else. In my opinion, the dangerous thing was not that they have 10%. I believe, actually, that this is the top they can get, especially as they are now, that they have introduced into the central political scene their ideas as something not to be ashamed of. So people started being racist and talk about it without being ashamed, without having the contempt of the rest of the society. And they started, you know, things that were taboo before, and somebody would speak with their peers in their own house. Now they became a public, it was thrown up in the society, and the stink was everywhere. I mean, so, and this dragged the political agenda to the right from the central political system. So this is how we were led to this.
Well, the first election that Chrysi Avgi started to grow, the main media apart from promoted a lot the actions of Golden Dawn. They were also trying to say that the vote to Golden Dawn was a disapproval vote to the other parties. But what show those people did exist, and since Chrysi Avgi came out, they found the space. They found a space to express themselves. The good thing is, again, that all this fascist movement needs a critical mass that now it seems that they cannot get, hopefully. But it's also very interesting how they tried, because that started before crisis. We could see the rise of Golden Dawn from 2004, for example, where there was some successes in the national team of Greece, and they started going into groups of fans and in the national team and in other teams in the national league that used to be before that. Everyone had them like poor neighborhoods and more liberal fans, like in Piraeus. So and afterwards they developed a base that was with these fans.
Okay, so... yeah, we hope there's enough anti-fascist actions against this and that we can stop
there
the spread.
Yeah. We can assure you.
Perfect, and thanks for having been here.
You're welcome.
And here's that segment from Anarchist Dishes Radio Berlin discussing upcoming anarchist book fairs in Europe, the Pinkster Landdagen Anarchist Camp, the upcoming International Anarchist Radio Conference in Ljubljana, and other topics with members of Cherna Luknia, Radio Libertaire, and Verge Bond. More from ARB can be found at aradio.blogsport.de.
We are gathered here in the studios of Radio Libertaire in Paris, and in the context of a meeting of the International of Anarchist Federations, IFA, we would like to take the opportunity to talk about some of the upcoming projects different federations or friends of IFA have. So maybe first we present ourselves. I'm from the Anarchist Radio Berlin, which is part of the German-speaking Anarchist Federation.
I'm John, part of the Radio Libertaire radio programs, and also with the radio of the French-speaking Anarchist Federation.
I'm Cookie from the initiatives that comes from the collective of Anarchist Radio Show Cherna Luknia
on the radio student in Ljubljana, Slovenia, and otherwise Črna Lukna is part of the Anarchist Federation in our region.
I'm Jan from the Vrije Bond, Free Association. Being a Dutch Federation of Anarchists, we don't have yet a radio.
Okay, so maybe first we could do a round on the topic of book fairs, as there are several book fairs coming up in the next time that we are either organizing ourselves or we can advertise. Who would like to start?
I have to announce that there will be in Ghent, Gand in Belgium, an anarchist book fair on the 18th of April. It is a book fair in which French and Dutch publishers are showing books, and which Dutch and French poets, and also there will be workshops and there will be recitations. I hope there will be very much people like every year, and there are also is a stand in which every classic anarchist has been copied and you can read freely.
In Balkan region there is a traditional Balkan anarchist book fair that connects this region. It will be held in Zadar or Split. It is not clear yet to me. And also date is not yet set, but communication is going on. It will be probably around May. This is normally. Otherwise, it exists since 2003. The first one happened in Ljubljana, Slovenia, and then the book fair is moving from region to region, from town to town. So for now, it has been in Greece, Croatia, Macedonia, Serbia, and last year also in Bosnia. So this year is now coming back to Croatia. It will be in Seaside, maybe interesting news from the comrades in North. Normally, events gather quite different people on one spot that don't share just the book, but very important is the gathering part from which many projects arise in the past.
But as we know, as a Federation for Anarchist Organizing in Slovenia, Croatia, you also organize your own book fair.
Yeah, we are also having our federational book fair, and this year it will be held by the Croatian group in Rijeka, and also it will take place in May. The exactly date is not confirmed, but probably the last week of May. It might also happen that the two groups will collaborate, so one from Rijeka in Croatia and the group from Koper in Slovenia.
What's the name of the book fair?
It is called Anarch. It is, in Slovenian language, if you read something like anarchy backwards, it becomes food. So Anarch, Hrana, Anarch.
Okay, also in Germany, there's a book fair taking place in April, exactly from the 24th to the 26th of April in Mannheim. This is in the south of Germany. It's the third anarchist book fair the anarchist group in Mannheim is organizing. And yeah, it has become something like the biggest anarchist book fair in Germany for now. There's also an interesting point about this, that this is happening every 2 years, and every second year there's another book fair, the Libertarian Media Fair, that is being organized in the Ruhr area, that is in western Germany. And in total we can observe an interesting rise in interest in this form of gathering, of establishing relationships between groups, collectives, editorials, anyone interested actually in the topic of anarchism, because there are other book fairs even that also happen. For example, the anarchist book fair in Biel, Bienn in Switzerland, that takes place regularly, and now last year for the first time a radical book fair in Hamburg in northern Germany. So just a lot to see and a lot to watch, so you're invited to come.
Our federal book fair is every 2 years, so perhaps you can join in 2016 in Paris. But there are other anarchist book fairs in France, or Libertarian Editorials Anarchist Book Fair. The last one was in November, something like that, in Lyon. And I know that there will be in Pau, is a city in the southwest of France. I think it's March or April, I can't tell you exactly because I don't have the info. And it's a Libertarian Days meeting, and people exchanging ideas and public events.
So, but of course, book fairs is not the only thing that are happening on the anarchist field. What is happening in Holland also?
In Holland, there is every year on Whitsunday a camping festival. There are workshops, there are speeches, but there is also music and there is also dancing and so on. We will have our camping outside. It isn't traditional because in the years after the war, it was the meeting of the Dutch Anarchist Federation. But as we disbanded in the 70s and now are gathering again, the Whitsunday camps exist on its own and are a reunion every anarchist from the world and has more or less got a more or less international character. It's mainly Dutch. There are very beautiful Dutch peasants and citizens on wooden shoes, but it's also very interesting meetings and confrontations.
And could you please repeat the place and also the date?
It is at Appelscha. It is on the border of Groningen and Friesland. And it is on Whitsunday. And Whitsunday is this year on the 26th of May and the days before and after.
And we know this camping also as Pinksterlandtage.
Yes, it is Pinksterlandtage, is a Dutch name.
So maybe now we can also mention the international gathering of Anarchist Radio, Voices of Anarchism. Maybe comrade from the radio, Anarchist Radio Berlin, would make the general frame how we came to this idea first.
Yeah, okay, I could tell a bit about that. Of course, and especially in the radio sector, for us, international cooperation and also on a very practical level is a very important thing. Therefore, at the Balkan Anarchist Book Fair, we had already a first meeting with other meetings following, where comrades from different projects, from different countries, well, we have to say all over Europe, and not beyond that for now, had been present. We've been talking about concretely the exchange of materials that happened and that is happening, so we are very grateful. But apart from that, we had already been expanding our contacts and connections to, for example, the US, to friends of us at Final Straw, but also to comrades in Latin America, for example, in Chile or Brazil. And now we want to go a step further.
Yeah, so idea of this gathering dedicated only to radios, which is something what haven't been done until now, is to make some concrete steps toward big great idea of 24/7 multilingual anarchist radio. So because of this, we gather between the 2nd and 5th of April in Ljubljana, and we invite different radios or collectives that are working on the radios, and also like initiatives and individuals interested in producing radios. Our goals are, of course, to strengthen the personal contacts, which can lead then to better cooperation, like sharing contents, and also to help the persons on the spot when something is happening somewhere. Like if in Germany there are some protests or something happened, we know who to contact to get the relevant informations from our point of view. And on this meeting, gathering, what we will try to do, we will try to build a concrete tool that would enable us to cooperate more fruitfully and also to make a first step toward the idea of multilingual radio. Probably we will try to build an internet platform which would switch between the streams of different radios. So this will be first contact. If someone is maybe involved in radio listening this show and want to participate, you can go to the page of our radio. It is radiostudent.se. You can find contacts there, and so you are welcome to apply.
So maybe to get to the last project we want to present.
So Radio Libertaire is happy to tell that we're going to be part of this international anarchist radio meeting in Ljubljana. And we've been already in the first meeting also, so we'll not be really active until now because we had a lot to do also. But we, in the meantime, we had contacts with other radio we are going to invite to, like Radio Intasi, we've been receiving here. They are from Athens. We've been receiving and interviewing also radio from Buenos Aires, Radio Presente. It's a really young radio. I think we're going have more contacts than really getting them in a physical presence in Ljubljana. And we have also other radios we are thinking about to invite to Ljubljana to come. And I just want to present our upcoming event. It's a day of homage to Fukushima. It's to recall this main nuclear catastrophe in 2011, and there will be a special live radio show on Radio Libertaire. And it's what's interesting, it's also that cooperation between different radio shows from different radios in France. One is in Marseille and the other one in Toulouse. These are Radio Zanzine and Radio Galère, and it's going to be a show with different interviews about radical ecology and fighting against nuclear and this kind of stuff. And you know that France is really the worst nuclear energy producer. So we hope there will be a lot of people listening to it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Right now we're hearing Hrein with the song Plague of Witches Seep Through from their self-titled album. And next up we'll hear The Blood of Poets, originally by Sergio Ortega and performed here by Russian neo-crust band Warona. Thank you. This is A Sociedad Industrial e Seu Futuro, or Industrial Civilization and Its Future, by the Brazilian punk project Ruptura, off of their album Exilo. Next up, we'll hear Prague from Perth, Australia, with Winter Mute from their self-titled album.
Live by the
This is Calte Lust with Guerra et Page from the album Pride is Your Consolation Prize. And lastly, we'll hear Douche Froid with Communique Tout from their self-titled album. You're listening to AshevilleFM.org at WSFMLP 103.3 Asheville. You're listening to The Final Straw, and I'm Bursa Goodness. The show is also available on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRSLP in Columbus, Ohio. Archives of the show can be found online at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can contact us at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net.